I think human nature is what's the problem? Let me solve it. And what I think the beauty of Army design methodology is it sort of slows you down. If I know I'm in one place today, what is today, and I know I want to be somewhere in the future, the problem frame is really, well, what's getting in the way? What are the obstacles or the barriers that are preventing me from getting to where I want to be in the future?
Hello and welcome back to Leader Up, a podcast of Army Management Staff College. Leader Up is a professional conversation where we discuss a broad range of leadership and leader development topics with an emphasis on the Army civilian professional. I'm your host, David Howley. On today's episode of Leader Up, we've got someone who's a really good friend of mine and just a really sharp, intelligent, and just a fun guy to talk to. This is Gary Heisel, and he is from Army Management Staff College Advanced Course, and he's going to tell you a little bit more about himself here in just a minute. But Gary, I want to thank you for coming in and being a guest today on Leader Up. Thank you.
Oh, thank you for having me, David. Appreciate it.
You're more than welcome. And we're going to talk today about Army design methodology, and we're going to get into that in just a minute. But first, I want to ask you, Gary, if you would, just tell our Leader Up audience just a little bit about your background and what you do in Army Management Staff College.
Sure. Well, I spent 30 years on active duty as an Army officer, did quite a bit of planning as part of that. And then after I retired, I started working here. 10 years ago, met David Howey, taught in the advanced course primarily, but also in the intermediate course, and had the pleasure of being an instructor and facilitator here at the Army Management Staff College.
Okay, well, thank you. And let's just jump right in. And we're talking today about a topic. It is Army design methodology. And so just the first question is, what is Army design methodology?
Yeah, Army design methodology really is a conceptual planning tool that'll help you in problem solving. So it really is a precursor to what many of you may know as military decision-making process or Army problem solving. So that's really the crux of it, to help kind of resolve or solve an ill-structured kind of ambiguous problem.
And how is it different from what a lot of people are familiar with, the Army problem solving process, that seven step that a lot of people have kind of heard and dealt with? How is it different, and how is it maybe similar to that process?
Yeah, the way it's different is generally with Army problem solving or military decision making, you're given the problem or you're given the mission, and it's given to you, and you go through the seven step process to solve it. With Army design methodology, you're really trying to figure out what is the problem. So that's really kind of a precursor or the beginning before you get into this Army problem solving process.
And you used the phrase ill-structured, and that kind of the first indicator that this isn't just to follow the steps and you get this done. When we talk about ill-structured problems, that's kind of what kind of pushes something into a different realm of design or dealing with the problem.
Yeah, David, when you think about ill-structured, you know, you have ill-structured, you have medium-structured, and maybe a well-structured problem. So medium-structured and well-structured sort of lend you to go to Army problem-solving and military decision-making process. Ill-structured problem-solving really is, we're just trying to figure out what is the problem. And it's ambiguous. So it takes some conceptual, strategic level kind of thinking to help you shape that, to come up with some ways to get to an end state, if you will.
And there's a part of the design methodology that is called problem framing. And just talk about what that means and why is that an important part of Army design methodology?
So when you get into Army design methodology, and I kind of learned this from a guy named Roger Porter, really talk about three things. So three big steps in Army design methodology. One is the environmental framing, which is kind of framing your operational environment. The second piece is what you're talking about, the problem framing. And the third step is operational approach. So when you're talking about the operational environment, environmental framing, you're sort of doing the analysis up front to sort of look at where you're at today and then where you want to be in the future. The problem framing step, which is the big step number two, is really deciding what is the problem and what's getting in the way and coming up with a problem statement. And then you get to the operational approach or the ways to resolve or get to solving the ill structure problem.
And that problem framing, that is kind of where you said that that's kind of the most important. That's where sometimes when we get it wrong, we go back a couple of months or even a couple of years later and we realize that we solved the wrong problem. Have you seen that happen? Has that been your experience?
I think human nature is what's the problem? Let me solve it. And what I think the beauty of Army design methodology is it sort of slows you down. It enables you to sort of sit back and go, okay, let me think about where am I today in the current state? Where do I want to be in the future? And that helps you kind of look at, okay, the problem frame is really in between those two pieces. If I know I'm in one place today, what is today? And I know I want to be somewhere in the future. The problem frame is really, well, what's getting in the way? What are the obstacles or the barriers that are preventing me from getting to where I want to be in the future? And we screw that up all the time because we want to just say, this is the problem. Let's solve it. And really the methodology of Army design helps you sort of walk through the steps and not solve the wrong problem like you talked about.
Sometimes we do solve the wrong problem, or sometimes we don't identify what the actual problem is that needs to be solved. And sometimes people will want a solution. This phrase, that's a solution looking for a problem. Have you seen that? Can you think of times when that's been the case?
So we have students all the time that want to rush in and try to solve it quickly and say, oh, here's the issue. Let's solve it. And we even have senior executive service folks, SESs that come in, or general officers that sit down and listen to students talk about Army design methodology and go, well, what's the issue? And let's solve it right now. You sort of have to methodically go through this Army design methodology process to really help you identify, well, here is the actual center of gravity or the root cause, and here's the problem. So it really is problem setting. When you really think about Army design methodology, it helps you to look at what is the real problem, what's the root cause, not identifying or solving a symptom, if you will.
I saw a guy on television a couple of months ago, and he had a book, and the book was called Fall in Love with the Problem, Don't Fall in Love with the Solution. And kind of what I took from that is what you're saying is, if all we got is the hammer, every problem looks like a nail. That's kind of part of design methodology, is it not? To recognize when that might happen and to kind of fight that urge off.
I think it's a great analogy. And just a little vignette. You know, my wife always talks about things that are going on, and I immediately want to solve a problem. And I want to jump in and go, here's the solution. I think the beauty of Army design is it sort of slows us down. It sort of helps us to listen to what are all the things that are out there in the operational environment, where we live, where we work, you know, what's going on around us, to sort of listen, think about it, do some analysis up front before you jump in to go, well, here's what we think the problem is. So that's a great point. Every solution is a nail. You're going to use a hammer.
There's two things that I know we taught in the intermediate course, and I know the advanced course taught, all of AMSC, through the basic course, we talk about critical thinking and we talk about creative thinking. And so how is critical thinking used in Army design methodology? And then something that sometimes we don't think about, but how is creativity used in Army design methodology? And are they of equal value in that process?
I think they are of equal value. And yeah, the intermediate course teaching critical and creative thinking, as well as the advanced course, because we teach that in the advanced course as well, it's key to especially when you're doing the environmental framing or framing your operational environment and you're doing your analysis, in the current state, you're really going to be using a lot of critical thinking and looking at things and challenging it and coming up with different points of view. And as you go from where you are today, your current state in the environmental frame, to where you want to be in the future, really creative thinking is, well, I like to say, rainbows and unicorns. What could it be? You know, think out of the box. So be as creative as you can, still using critical thinking, but being a little more creative. And what's an innovative idea or what's a best solution if you could pull yourself there without being resource constrained? So I think critical and creative thinking are baselines or key to doing Army design methodology.
Asking the right questions and realizing when assumptions are being made that, is that really true? Can we go back and verify that? I've seen situations where people feel constrained by something that they assume is true, but it's, and then they go push back a little bit. Even something as simple as like a suspense. We got to get this done by Friday. Well, if we had two more weeks, we could do a better job. So you go back and say, can we get two more weeks? And it's not uncommon that the answer is yes, if you can give us a better product. So kind of thinking outside of the box, like you're saying. Mm-hmm. And there's another phrase I've heard associated with design methodology, and it's, we talked about framing, but it's reframing. And what does that mean? What is reframing?
So if you go through your Army design methodology and you do the environmental frame and you say, here's what's going on in the current state, here's where I want to be in the future, here are the obstacles that are getting in the way, and then operational approach of here's some ways we can get to solving that problem. If the conditions change and things are different, the facts change, maybe your assumptions change, you have to kind of go back and reframe. You have to almost go back to the drawing board and start again and go, okay, the conditions have changed in my environment. Now what's going on in the current state? So you sort of start from scratch. So that's really what reframing is you're starting again to frame, and you're reframing, if you will.
And that could be something as simple as, I've got a list of assumptions, and I've always been taught, if you can verify an assumption, verify that it, turn it into a fact. And so if I've got a list of assumptions and I can turn those into facts, or say, yeah, that's no longer an assumption, we cannot do that. And so responding to a list of assumptions like that, that is something that kind of can lead to reframing.
Exactly. Yeah. And where facts and assumptions are in Army problem solving, military decision-making process, they also exist for Army design methodology. And as you turn those assumptions into facts, conditions may change where you have to go back and reframe. So that's a great point.
And so let's talk about the advanced course. And these are GS-13s and above. And so how do you use Army design methodology in the advanced course? How do you teach it, and what kind of activities do they do to help them learn?
So we start with the critical and creative thinking up front. We sort of do the baseline of be better critical thinkers, be better creative thinkers, be better strategic thinkers, think conceptually. And we sort of set that up in the first week. And in the second week, we build on that. And in the third week, we give them an ambiguous question. How should the Army Civilian Corps adapt to support the future Army? Knowing 2035 to 2050, we're going to start doing multi-domain operations. So it's ambiguous. It's ill-structured. It doesn't have a solution. And so they have to apply Army design methodology. After we go through a lesson on Army design methodology and dig into the doctrine, and then they work through it. They have a week to work through this and apply everything they've learned up to that point and use Army design methodology to help in a team building environment, because they're not doing it by themselves. They're doing it with 15 other students. So there's critical and creative thinking going on between 16 different versions of it. So that's how we do it.
And that brings up a good point that it's done in a team environment, but that's true in the real world, because you kind of almost can't go through a process like this by yourself. Is that, would you agree with that? That you, like, it's a staff or some kind of a group of people. And why is it important that you have a group of people working on something like this?
Yeah, you may be on an operational planning team, or you get thrown in with a bunch of people you don't know. And so all those creative juices, all the different creative and critical thinkers out there, pulling all that together and sort of taking your time. Because Army Design, if there's one thing you need to be, is patient and sort of think through it, do the analysis up front. So getting a team together, and as we like to say, I know you said this as a facilitator as well, getting 3-4 heads, it's better than one. So a group coming up with an idea and coming up with solutions always going to be a better solution, I believe, than just one person thinking about it, because there's different points of view, different ways to look at it.
And what kind of responses do you see from the students? Are they, is it something that feels familiar to them? Is it, do they grasp it? Do they see the value in it? What kind of responses do you see from the advanced course students?
So I'd say probably out of 16 students that we generally have in a group, 15 to 16 don't even know what it is. And the SESs that come in generally don't have a great idea. They're used to problem solving, military decision making. So Army Design is something new, which I think actually is a good thing, because they come with an open mind. They're not, have a biased opinion about how to do it. And working through it, and again, they spend a week on it, walking through these three major steps of environmental framing, problem framing, operational approach. And by doing that, they really learn it. They get into the doctrine. And the feedback I've been given over the last 10 years is, this is one of the things that they actually use in the field. And they go, I'm glad you taught me that. I'm glad I learned how to do Army Design methodology. I'm actually applying it in Korea, in Germany, in the Pentagon, at Fort Cavazos, Fort Liberty, wherever they go back to, it's got practical application.
And for Army civilians to be able to enter into a process like this with military counterparts, that's a win-win for us as members of the Army Civilian Corps. Just to understand that when I hear a term at a meeting and I kind of know what they're talking about, that's kind of an important part of introducing something like that.
Yeah, because as we stated, for the School of Advanced Military Studies, they teach this. At the Command General Staff College, they teach this so that our uniform counterparts are familiar with it. So if you're going to not just be on a planning team with all civilians all the time, you're going to have military in there well. So if you both understand the process, it helps you work through it. If you're a civilian showing up and they understand Army Design, you don't, it's pretty tough to catch up and learn Army Design on the fly. So I think going through the advanced course or jumping into the regulation and reading about it in advance gives you a leg up, really.
And you talked about the School of Advanced Military Studies, SAMS, which is about 40 years old, something like that. Mm-hmm. Came about in the early 1980s, I think, when you and I were first coming into the Army. Was this kind of a response to the frustration of the folks that came out of Vietnam, where they're doing things on the ground, but they don't equate back to political objectives? And we have this phrase, operational art. Is this kind of tied to that concept, where we don't just pull out the AR and say step one, step two, step three, but we take time and really look at the environment, like you said, and link everything together? Do you think that is kind of why we've taken this stance in recent years?
I believe so. Back when we were young officers, things were pretty cut and dry. It was kind of black and white, not all the time, but most of the time. I think we're dealing with a lot more complexity, a lot more ambiguity. And as we continue to evolve as an Army, as a Department of Defense, and really as a nation, things are going to become more and more complex. So Army Design methodology helps you sort of take that ambiguous, gray area, if you will, and sort of frame it. And back where we were at, before School of Advanced Military Studies started doing this, they sort of realized, could see the future, that things are going to become more complex. We're going to deal with folks like the Taliban in Afghanistan and irregular warfare in Iraq and what's going on in the Ukraine with Russia right now and what's going on with Iran. So these things can't be just, here's the problem, let's fix it. You sort of have to think about it in an ill-structured way, in a conceptual way.
And this kind of goes back to that old statement that Carl von Clausewitz made, that war is always different. Every situation is unique. And he talks about that balancing, but it's recognizing the balance and understanding it and then selecting courses of action to achieve some kind of a goal that will ultimately achieve the political goal.
Right. Yep. War is politics by other means, as Clausewitz said. So, you know, politics continues to change and morph. And as we support our political leaders and as we try to understand the military operational art, because it's a lot of art, there's science to it, well, but the art piece, really, Army design helps us take that art and apply some science to it.
And the art, we talked about creative thinking earlier. That is kind of the art that comes into this, that there's not always, if you push this button, and this button, you know, this will happen. And that's not always the case. And we say, we train for certainty, we educate for uncertainty. And that's kind of what Army design methodology is about, is it not?
Yeah, we're definitely educating for uncertainty. And a lot of the students are kind of uncomfortable when it's not, well, here's the problem, let's solve it. Doing the conceptual sort of ill-structured piece is about complexity and uncertainty and helping to sort of frame it and put some structure to it. Because that's really what the world's all about, is very uncertain and complex and ill-structured now. So I think this is a great tool. And it is a Army tool and a Department of Defense tool that we can use.
And I know that in 2019, in the update to ADP 622, in the Army Civilian Corps creed, we added leadership. So the old creed said, I provide stability and continuity, which is basically just day-to-day operations. But when you say, when you change that and say, not I provide stability and continuity, but I provide leadership, stability, and continuity, that means that we as Army civilians have to enter into this world of the ambiguity and the uncertainty and try to tackle smoke, which is difficult to do. I don't know if you've ever heard that phrase, but you know, you're grasping at things using last year's solutions and it's not working. And we as Army civilians have to let go of the stability part and be willing to jump into this ambiguity and go about problems in a more creative way. That also calls for assuming some levels of risk when you're creative and you say, well, let's do this. And the first thing everybody says is, we never did it like that before. We didn't do that up at Fort Shafter. Well, this isn't 1988 at Fort Shafter anymore. It's completely different.
Exactly. Yeah, I like to say leaders take risks and leaders go first. And as you talked about in the civilian creed, the Army civilian, we're leaders. We have to step up. We have to be at the table. I also like to say, if you're not at the table, then you're part of the menu.
Right.
So if you're not there in the conversation, if you don't understand Army design methodology, if you're not helping shape that and, you know, giving senior leaders and your supervisors solutions, ways to solve a ill-structured problem, then they're going to turn to the uniform side.
Right.
And there's 300,000 of us out there. We're 23 to 25% of the force. So we need to step up and lead and not be part of the menu.
Right, absolutely. And I know in the intermediate course, and we do the Army problem, the 7-step problem solving process. And my feeling with the students, and these are 10s, 11s, and 12s, they do live in a little more certainty. But I would tell them, we're introducing this theory to you, this process. I don't expect you to be an expert at it when you leave here. But what I would like to know is that in 6 months, when a lieutenant colonel or a major starts talking about screening criteria or evaluation criteria, that you at least understand that, okay, yeah, I remember us talking about that, that I think I know what that means, and you can participate in that discussion.
Yeah, if you read Army doctrine, and if you're a student of the Army and of history, you'll understand that they're learning this. So we need to, as Army civilians, learn it as well and be able to be in the conversation and not just sit back and go, well, they understand Army doctrine because they read it. Well, the doctrine's available for us as well. So we get into the Army doctrinal publications and we get into the Army technical publications that teach Army design methodology.
In an Army environment, if there is a way for us to segment ourselves, it can happen. In other words, if there's something being done where we might say, well, that's the Army guys, the military guys talk about that. We just, if we give different groups an ability to say that, it just causes more division. If we don't give Army civilians a way to be part of that process, we're allowing for further separation and further desegregation of us as Army civilians. Do you agree with that?
Wholeheartedly. They've got that tool in their kit bag or rucksack. We need to have the same tools. Because if we're going to be involved in the planning, if we're going to be involved in decision making, which we are every day, and we're going to present recommendations, ways to solve a problem, we need to understand this methodology. And really, you know, the operational approach gives you ways. So we talk about strategic kind of things of having strategic thinking of ends, ways, means, and risk, as you talked about. Well, what are some ways that we can get to our end state that we want to achieve? So Army design gives you some ways to do that. Where problem solving gives you courses of action, which are similar. It's just, again, more conceptual in Army design as opposed to here's a specific way we're going to do this. There's an option that you give senior leaders. Here's some ways that we can help solve this problem. We think this is the problem. Do you agree with it? And once they agree with it, boom, you go to Army design methodology and transition to problem solving.
Third step that you talked about. Yes, yeah, so just mm-hmm. a little bit about that. That's probably where people feel maybe a little more comfortable. Is that? Do you agree with that? That we went through the problem framing, which I've always kind of thought that might be the most difficult part. And then when we get to the approach, is there maybe a little more I can kind of start to see better and now I can apply courses of action? Is that? Do you agree with that? Is that?
Yeah. So I mentioned ways. It's sort of, here's some lines of effort. So you may see some strategic documents or you may see different planning outcomes that say, here's some lines of effort that we can approach something. And here's some metrics where we can measure if we're getting to our end state, right? We're trying to get to that desired end state. So that's the ultimate goal. Where do we want to be in the future? So here's some ways that we can get there. So again, it takes you to do the early steps to get to some ways of the operational approach. What I like to say in the operational approach is, what are some things that I can do to overcome the obstacles that are in my problem frame to help me get to the desired end state? So they're kind of big, broad brushstroke ways to do that. They're not specific. They're kind of general ideas of, you know, so I mentioned, how should the Army Civilian Corps adapt to shape the future Army and support this military or multi-domain operations in the future? What are some big hand wave, broad brushstrokes, ways that we can get there? Not super specific, just kind of lines of effort or big hand wave ways.
And this process, I kind of see it in the Army People Strategy. And then you've got the military implementation plan and the civilian implementation plan where it looks like someone went through a process like this to see the problem, take some time and really frame the problem correctly so that everybody sees it and understands it the same way. Is that, do you see the same thing in that process, that Army People Strategy?
It's exactly what you're talking about. The People Strategy sort of is a strategic level document that sort of says, here's where we are today. Here's where we want to be with the Army Civilian Corps, with the Army in the future. here's what we think is the issue or the problem. And then here's some operational approach lines of effort to get there. And then some metrics we can measure along the way to see if we're achieving where we want to be in. So all strategic documents sort of have the end state they want to achieve and the operational approach or lines of effort of how to get there. So yeah, it's a perfect example. A people strategy is one, talent management strategy of how do we recruit or acquire new talent? How do we develop it? How do we retain it? So using all of what you just described and using Army design methodology helps you shape that.
Yeah, no, I heard a little vignette a couple of years ago. I thought this was really interesting point. So you have a car manufacturing plant. They're having trouble with error rates. And so they're trying to get their error rate down. So they send a team to an aircraft manufacturing plant who have a much better error rate. And so they go there and watch them for a month. And they come back and they say, well, what should we do differently? And the recommendation is we need to start putting propellers and wings on the cars. So that's all they took out of that. So I think it's easy to just mimic what somebody else does, and it's not applicable to your organization.
Yeah. A lot of people just want to, put a Band-Aid fix on something. Think a little bit out of the box. That sort of gets back to what you talk about with the critical and creative thinking. Be creative. And think, what could it be? One of my colleagues, Don Bishop, shows this picture of his car rusting in the front yard in, Eastern Kentucky where he grew up. And then he's got a picture of what could be in the future in this beautiful car right. And where he wants it to be and redesigned and not necessarily having propellers on it, but having something that's kind of right. Unique and something that's, achievable. But what's kind of getting in the way from the rusted car sitting in his front yard to this, showcase vehicle that he's got in the future? And what are the obstacles that are keeping him from getting to that? And then what are some ways, the operational approach, what are some, big, broad muscle movements that he can do to get to that beautiful showcase car? So great example.
And there's a quote by Peter Senge. I don't know. Do y'all use Senge?
We do. Yeah.
The easy way out leads right back in. So if you solve the wrong problem, it pulls you. And I've seen that so many times where there's, like you said, a Band-Aid is put on something. And then 3 months later, it's like, now it's worse. Well, yeah, because you didn't solve the right problem. You did something in the short term that felt good. Like, okay, effective immediately, everyone come in 20 minutes early. That rarely solves a problem.
Right.
Okay, so the final thing I want to talk to you about is just some other reading, doctrinal sources that if we got folks out there in the audience that want to learn more about this, where would they go to find out about Army design methodology?
So really the Bible, I guess, the doctrinal references Army Technical Publication 5-0.1. That really lays it out. And in the ATP 5-0.1 is Army Design Methodology. So it walks you through. And is it a phenomenal read? It's a good read, but it's not phenomenal. But it does walk you through methodically. And really, you can learn it by reading through it. It's a little bit of a dense read, but if you want to understand Army Design Methodology, read that. And then Army Doctrinal Publication 5.0, our planning, operational planning, really gets into talking about Army design methodology in broad terms. The ATP really gets into specifics of it. So that's probably the best. I have it sitting on my desk. I refer to it all the time. I've got it tabbed. So that's probably the best doctrinal publications, ATP 5.0-1.
And we have those publications in the show notes for this Leader Up audience. So you can take a look at those if you need to. And so, Gary Heisel, I really want to thank you for coming down today and being a guest on Leader Up and talking about Army design methodology. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome. And like you said, David, I've got a great face for radio and podcasts. So I appreciate you having me today.
No problem. always a pleasure to talk to you. And so, Leader Up audience, what did you hear today? Do you understand Army design methodology? Do you see times in your past when we've solved the wrong problem, or we've started down a path to a solution without everyone kind of agreeing to and understanding the problem? Take a look at those publications that we just mentioned and make sure to subscribe to our YouTube page and join us again for another edition of Leader Up.
As always, if you have any questions or feedback or would like to learn more about our podcast, please check the description for our email and for our website. Thanks for listening.